I'm sure you recognize the guy in the video. That's Brant Wallace, who is one of the members of our church and of this congregation. Well, I love that. But before I begin my sermon today, I just really want to tell you a little bit about my week. It was one of those very, very busy weeks, and I had 4 night meetings on my calendar. On Monday, I began to prepare my sermon like I always do, and I read the scripture over and over, and I tried to figure out exactly where God wanted me to go. I had just read that Billy Graham said that God does not necessarily bless all of the creative preaching that we try to do, but he will bless his word. So I gave the whole sermon to God right there in my living room and said, God, take this and use it as you would want it to be done. So I asked him to help me not to get too anxious or stressed because I knew the week was going to be a challenge. I even texted some of my very dear friends and I asked them to pray for me during the week. I did struggle all week long with trying to find time to get back to my sermon, and I kept trying to find a form that would engage all of you. The more I kept working, the more phone calls came in, phone calls of people who really were sick or needed prayer. I did my very best to tend to all of them last week. I hoped to finish my sermon on Friday, but a friend that I had not seen in a very long time and who's very dear to me said, could you just meet me for breakfast? We'll have a very short time together and you can be on your way. I love her, so I met her. And then my daughter called and said, would you just go with me to get some flowers to put on my front porch? You always do such a good job of picking them out. She hardly ever asks for any time, so I joyfully went with her. And then I had the confirmation banquet Friday night, and yes, that took some time away from my schedule, but oh my goodness, to be there with our confirmands, their parents and grandparents, I wouldn't have traded that for anything at all. So that left me yesterday to finish up my sermon. And I was typing away early in the morning and was halfway through. And then all of a sudden, I hit the wrong key and my sermon totally disappeared. I ran into my husband and I said, help me right now recover what I have lost. And he goes, there's no way. It's not there. You have to start over. So about noon, I started all over again, typing and working on my sermon. And then this thing kept popping up. Microsoft Word is not responding. Microsoft Word is not responding. It was like there were gremlins or even worse, demons in my computer. That they were trying to hold me up from what I was trying to say. At 9 o'clock last night, I rubbed my eyes, and then I thought of what one of my friends said in a text. Perhaps God wants something said today, or perhaps there's somebody that needs to hear what you are going to say, and perhaps the enemy is after you. So I decided late last night that very well may be what is happening. So I have a very simple message for you today. And if you're one of the people that this message is going to touch, let me know. I want to pray for you, and I hope that the work that I have prepared and the work that God and I did together will make you stronger and make you stronger in your faith. Well, early morning is my favorite time of day. I love to get up while it's still dark, drink coffee laced with sweet creamer, and wait for the dawn to make its appearance. Like clockwork, it arrives in the forest behind my house, and the whole woods light up like a cathedral. Towering oaks and big pine trees sway with the breeze. It is almost like they are the giant pillars of the cathedral, and they're not rigid like ours are, but they are strong and they are tall. But unlike these, they sway with the breeze and they raise their branches as if they are engaged in ultimate worship with God. It's kind of like Crystal and Regina. Whenever they really get going with their worship, you can see them swaying in praise to God. And if you sit and listen very carefully, you will hear the choir beginning to rev up. One sweet bird who becomes the conductor calls out to all the other birds around the cathedral, and together they begin their hymn sing at his request. There's every kind of voice imaginable as this wonderful choir begins to sing. And a red-headed woodpecker that lives in the tree behind my house, he becomes the drummer. With the rat-a-tat-tat, he helps keep the beat. Not to be outdone, the beautiful flowers lift up their heads as the warm rays of the sun touch them. And they are all uniquely and beautifully dressed, just like we are on Easter Sunday. And if that's not enough, the light bounces off all of the green leaves in the trees, kind of like a troupe of dancers that we have had before, holding flickering candles and giving praise to God. And then there's one last thing. In this beautiful worship behind my house, the star jasmine plant sends out its beautiful fragrance over my patio and the woods, and it becomes the incense for this holy event. You know, it is time to worship the Lord. It is time to start a brand new day. Time to marvel at all of God's creation. It is a sight to behold what happens in my backyard. And all because God said, if I am faithful and I go out every morning, I can participate in the great worship that is happening right in my own backyard. But my backyard is only a speck in the grand scheme of things. And you can let your imagination run wild with all of God's handiwork. For example, look at New England and all of the brightly colored trees, the majestic Grand Canyon and the giant sequoias in California, the Azalea Trail in Houston, and the mighty oceans on the east and west coast. All of them are God's handiwork, according to this young lad. He was just a lad on the week's first day, was wandering home from Sunday school, and he was dawdling all the way. He scuffed his shoes in the grass and found a caterpillar. He found a fluffy milkweed pod and blew out all the filler. A bird's nest in a tree overhead, so wisely placed and high, was just another wonder caught by his eye. A neighbor watched his zigzag course and hailed him from the lawn and asked him where he'd been that day and what was going on. Oh, he said, I've been to Sunday school. He carefully turned the sod with his feet and found a snail. And I have learned so much about God. A very fine way, a neighbor said, for a boy to spend his time. If you tell me where God is, I'll give you a brand new dime. Quick as a flash, his answer came, nor were his accents faint. I'll give you a dollar, mister, if you tell me where God ain't. From the backyard, to walking down the street, to magical places that you have seen, I would like to know what comes to your mind right now. Would you shout out a place where you have seen God's handiwork? Thank you. We all have seen places that have just astonished us with God's absolute handiwork. Today we're beginning our new sermon series called Voice Activated, or Hearing the Voice of God. And as I told you, my message is very simple. God has placed on my heart to remind you and me of the importance of stopping and worshiping Him as we enjoy the beauty of all creation. In addition, he has also issued a warning. And if we are not taking the time to worship and share God and his creation with others, it can become a very dangerous thing. As you've probably figured out by now, today's message is the voice of God, the Creator. But there's more to come. There will be voice of the Father, voice of the Son, voice of the Holy Spirit, and the final one will be our voices. Yes, Brant and Alexa were having quite a battle over communicating with each other in our bumper this morning. And although Alexa is always listening, and you can actually order your dog food or have her turn off the lights, well, God is always listening too, and he can do so much more than Alexa ever dreamed of. The bottom line is, he made your dog, and he made all of the light that you enjoy. But he is not about trying to keep you happy with your everyday conveniences. That is not what God is about. He desires to restore you and send you out in the world to tell others about him. Even more, he wants you to spend eternity with him. I know that most of you have read the very opening chapters of Genesis many, many times. And if you haven't, I encourage you to go home and read it today. As you sit and read it, the first 10 words are extremely profound. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That shows that the existence of God is assumed from the very first words in the Bible. The term created is a Hebrew verb that always has God as the subject. I love that. A verb that always has God as the subject. The Old Testament is filled with scriptures all about everything that God has done, and the New Testament agrees and makes clear that all things were created by God. John 1:3 says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made." And then Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith that we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made from what was visible." Someone said, "That's almost like a confession of faith. We just read our confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty." But what we're reading in Genesis is almost exactly like a confession of faith. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. That lets us know that God's words have power. You can see the power in there with the verbs that are in that first part of Genesis. Listen, hovering, seeing, separating, blessing, calling, doing, gathering. Since we are made in God's image, the action of telling others His wonders should be a part of our daily lives. Now, how this happened and the time frame is really, really debated. Was each day a 24-hour period? Did Moses really write this? Did evolution play a part? What about the Big Bang Theory? I believe it's really interesting to plow through some of these questions. And I want to tell you, it's okay to wrestle with God. I've asked myself some of those very same questions. But in the end, we're not going to know the answer until we are face to face with Jesus. And then we can ask Him, "Would you please tell me how you made this happen?" Right now, we as Christians are marveling that God created the heavens and the earth with just the sound of His voice. Even John says that God has always existed, and He is the sustainer of all things. This past week, I was looking at my phone, and I get an online devotion each day. And Kent Newberg posed this one question. He said, "Do we really need much more than this? To visit a garden, to talk to a friend, to contemplate a cloud, to cherish a meal, to bow our heads before the mystery of the day. Are these not enough?" Yes, Mr. Newberg, I think they're enough with just a couple of understandings. The first is that we allow the majesty of God to draw us into worship, and we share with others what we have seen and heard in His creation. I believe God expects this of us, as He has revealed Himself in nature. The second understanding is more cautionary. If we aren't bowing in humble adoration at the majesty of God and pointing others to His creation, then we must figure out what is causing our silence, because silence is dangerous. Did you know that there's a brand new island being formed off the coast of Hawaii? Don't make any hotel reservations too soon, because it's going to take about 50,000 years for it to surface, but it is well on its way. It has a name already, Lo'ihi, and earthquakes alerted the scientists that something was going on south of the Big Island. And with our modern technology, they were able to go down in a submersible and look and see exactly what is happening. Yes, there's a volcano under there. And yes, it's erupting over and over and over. And it's building a brand new island that will appear within time. Because they're able to go down there and look at it, then they know how all the other Hawaiian islands were formed. Did you know you can go over to Hawaii? You can go right out there above the place that it's happening, and you can stop and say, "Oh my gosh, I am above the place where God has created and He is still creating." You see, our God has never stopped. He is still creating. Would that make you just want to bow in humble adoration to God? Or if the formation of islands are not your thing, get on your phone today or your laptop and look up the Hubble spacecraft. Read and see what the Hubble spacecraft has taught us in the past 20 years. If you will go out tonight and take a walk at dark and look up in the sky and imagine that we are just a tiny part of a vast system comprising 100 million galaxies, or that the fact that the universe has not ever stopped expanding. And if you will look online and find out the name of the place where baby stars are being formed, if you look carefully, it looks just like a mother's womb. The baby stars stay there until they are ready to go out and be the twinkling things we see in the sky. See if that will not call you to worship like it did Job whenever God answered his questions. This is what God said. Where were you, Job, when I made the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off how big it would be? Surely you know. Who stretched a ruler across it? What were the earth's foundations set on? Or who put a cornerstone in place while the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy? King David knew the value of looking at creation and praising the Lord with all the wonders that he had seen. And he penned these words in Psalm 8, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name above the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have established, what are human beings that we are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Or Psalm 19, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. One of my friends who has gone on to be with the Lord told me about the time that she visited the Grand Canyon for the first time. As she walked closer and closer and was able to peer down in that vast chasm, she finally stopped and she was overcome by tears. She stopped right there and immediately began to sing praise to God. She recalled David's mighty psalms and she kept uttering words of praise to God. Another person told me about the time they went to Jerusalem and looked down at the city at sunset, and she could see the gates from a distance. When she saw the marvelous sunset over Jerusalem and she saw the gates, inside her mind, she began to sing the holy city right there as she worshiped God. Another person told me about going to Hawaii and going up one of the extinct volcanoes to watch the sunrise early in the morning. When the first rays appeared, he said, I got a lump in my throat, and all I was able to do was bow and thank God for what he has done. The key thing that God wants you to remember today is that he is a creative and loving God, and he desires our worship based on everything he has given us. If you are too caught up in the busyness of the day to stop and enjoy God's creation, then you are missing out on a major portion of your spiritual life. When you just stop and bask in God's majesty, your heart rate will slow down, your blood pressure will go lower, and your anxiety and your stress will begin to subside. Not only does God want our worship, but he wants you to know that it is healthy to be with him out in nature. Well, I do believe that we must bow in humble adoration, but I think we need to make sure that we are pointing others to God. And I think over and over that Scripture has told us, you've heard it thousands of times, that we are to be the people that share God's love with anyone that we meet. I think one of the best ways to do it, given what our scripture is today, to share with somebody what you have seen and places you have been. Maybe invite them to barbecue in your backyard and have them stay and linger as the night grows dark and talk about the stars and talk about your faith. You can also invite them on a walk to a park or another place of great beauty. Talk about your faith openly. Not only that, why not help some young people or friends of your neighbors or your grandchildren enjoy creation by going on walks with them and teaching them all about the things you have seen. One of the greatest examples of a woman sharing that creation was my great Aunt Nita. She lived in a farm in West Virginia and invited her grandchildren and me to spend summers with her. She took us to wondrous places like Natural Bridge Caverns. She showed us long, lazy rivers and bright stars at night. She pointed us to trees and animals and even made up songs so we would not forget it. At night, when we were all three squeaky clean, she would pile us up in her bed and she would begin that ancient catechism with us. "Who made you?" she would say. "God did," we would shout. "Why did God make you?" she would ask. "For his own glory." And if that wasn't enough, she dressed us up, paraded us to Sunday school every Sunday in the little country church where we learned more and more about God. Here's the question for you today. Are you engaging others in conversations about God? If you are not, it can become dangerous. Last week, Max and I went to a wedding. It was a wedding on a paddle boat on Lake Conroe. And as we were going there, he said, "Ann, have you ever heard this phrase, still waters run deep?" And I said, "Yes, I've heard it, but I don't know what it means." So, because this is voice activated, I got on and I asked Siri, "What does the phrase, still waters run deep, mean?" And she came back and said, "Oh, I have some information for you." And she gave me a link. It means just because that you are quiet doesn't mean you're not passionate about something. And the former meaning was silent people are dangerous. I like both of those meanings. You know, I think that if we are not telling others about the wonders that God has made, that it is going to be dangerous to our spiritual growth. People in America are not telling others about God. Statistics show that we are not sharing our faith as much as we used to. And here are the reasons why. Fear of persecution, fear of being made fun of, fear of not knowing enough, fear of not being qualified, fear of losing our jobs, fear of political correctness, and fear of knowing not how to share. Did you hear a word over and over? That word is fear. The acronym for fear is false expectations appearing real. And God does not want us to have a spirit of fear. It's the devil that wants us for us. There are 366 references in the Bible to fear, not being afraid. If you do your math, that's one for every day in the year with one left over. God does not want us to be afraid. And in addition, in Luke, he says, "Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. God will give us everything we need if we will just share the wonders of His love and creation with others. It makes my heart cringe that we have let ourselves become too busy to sit and worship God out in nature and thank Him for what He has done. It makes my heart cringe even more that perhaps we here at First Methodist Houston may be contributing to the lack of witness in America due to our fears. When you get down to it, we really don't have any excuses. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." My hope today is that we will begin to worship and engage others in conversation with God, and that all that He has done through creation. My hope is that we will cast our silence aside. We can be sure that when our hearts are pounding with awe at what we see, and when our mouths are bubbling over with things we say to others, Almighty God Himself will be standing right beside us, enjoying our worship and giving us the exact words to say. Are you ready today to begin again? Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for the wonders of Your creation. Thank You that You enjoy our heartfelt worship and that You are constantly helping us to tell others about You. Please help us not to fear, but give us strength to spread the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Don't let First Methodist be one of those churches that hinders the growth of the Christian church. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.